see how committed he was to us, that we might have faith in him. I'm going to look at the thought line and be tonight, himself he cannot save. Himself he cannot save. But in Mark chapter 15, beginning in verse number 15, you'll notice that the Word of God says this: "And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple, and platted a crown of thorns, and put it about his head, and began to salute him, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they smote him on the head with a reed, and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him, and put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. And they compelled one Simon a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is, being interpreted, the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over the king of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on the right, on his right hand, and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, 'And he was numbered with the transgressors.' And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads, saying, 'Ah, thou that destroyest the temple, and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross.' Likewise also the chief priests, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, 'He saved others, himself he cannot save.'" So we're going to look at the thought for just a few minutes tonight: himself he cannot save. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God tonight. We thank you that they really were telling the truth because of the fact that he was love, and because of the fact that he was one with his Father. Himself he could not save because of his great commitment unto thyself and to the love that you have for all of us. I thank you for this fact tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The world really looks for us is always trying to get us to do something for ourselves. And that's what everything, every lure and attraction calls us to focus on ourselves instead of others. And here's Jesus here. He did just exactly what the Father wanted him to do. He saved others. He healed others. He touched multitudes of other people. And now here he is finally coming to the place to fulfill his own, the will of God for his life. And he's being mocked for being at the place where God led him to be. Because the world seems to think that when we do good for other people, that naturally means that we have good circumstances in this life. And we believe in the life of our Savior. That's nothing further from the truth that we see in our Savior. He was content in every situation. He had power in every situation. He had peace in every situation. That's what the fruits... If you think about the fruits of the Spirit, when you read in Galatians chapter 5, all of those are internal things that really give you the ability to rest. You know, the Bible said there remained the rest for the people of God. And when they were mocking him, they said he saved others, himself he cannot save. And as I was meditating on this, I thought about three reasons why. And there's probably many others, and you ought to meditate on this. You probably will come up with a multitude of more as to why himself he could not save. The first thing, as you turn to Matthew chapter 26, turn back just a few pages, I wrote down, to save himself would deny the authority of the Scriptures. To save himself would deny the authority of the Scriptures. And everything about the Lord, life of the Lord Jesus Christ is so that we might believe and trust in the Heavenly Father. And he gave us the Word of God that we might do that. In Matthew 26 and verse number 47, you'll notice what the Bible says here. "And while he yet spake," Matthew 26:47, "lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, 'Whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he, hold him fast.' And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? So yes, he had the power to save himself. And certainly, if he really wanted, he could save himself. But if he had saved himself, the scriptures would not have been fulfilled. And everything he did was fulfill the scriptures so that you and I could open the Word of God and trust in what God has said. Now, Romans chapter 12, we see how God applies this to our life so we can actually, number one, be a blessing to the Lord and also be a blessing to other people. In Romans chapter 12, in verse number 1, the Word of God says here, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you're writing your Bible, you might consider making a note by verse 2. Write the question, what are you trying to prove? What are you trying to prove? Because it says right here that the reason that we're begged, now the word beseech in verse 1, this is a pleading from the Holy Spirit of God for me and for you, that I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, for who? Not for the church, for him, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our mandate is to be that living sacrifice so that our lives show to the world which is the good and perfect will of God. And that should be our mandate. That should be where our goal is trying to prove, so that hopefully somehow the world believes in God because of the way we live. That's the goal that we all try to have. And it's a big goal. But again, if we rest in the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and we live that way, you'll find new opportunities to emanate love, joy, peace. And you have all these opportunities to emanate those characteristics and to give out those things. And that's what the mandate is. Again, referring again and again back to Hebrews, the whole mandate and purpose of coming to assemble together is to exhort one another, challenge and encourage one another. And if we, all of us, commit to the Lord to be a living sacrifice, holy in His eyes, acceptable in His eyes, and that's reasonable service. Not conformed to this world, not living their ways, their thoughts, their philosophies, but renewing of our mind by the Word of God. They may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our Savior could not save Himself, would not save Himself, because He would deny the authority of the Scriptures. And so my mandate and your mandate is that I must not live for myself. You must not live for yourself, because when we do that, we do not show what is the perfect will of God. And we encourage one another in that light. Notice I said encourage, not condemn one another. We encourage one another. We iron sharpens iron. We encourage each other. So when one is down, we try to lift them up. When someone may not be that living sacrifice, we try to lift them up and encourage them to be that living sacrifice, not condemn them for not being that sacrifice, but showing and pointing the way so that the perfect will of God could be shown and all the fruits of the Spirit that come with that can be yours and can be mine. And Jesus had that mandate. He said, I must. The Bible refers in the Old Testament, He said His face like a flint. You know, he could not save Himself because He would not deny the authority of Scriptures. Matthew 16, second thing, to save Himself would declare that He had the same Savior as Satan had. And these are familiar Scriptures, I know. But you hopefully can never meditate too much on the life of our Savior. Matthew 16 and verse number 21. Matthew 16 and verse 21. Is that the verse 1? Okay, Matthew 16, verse 21, it says, From that time forth began Jesus to show unto His disciples how that He must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things to the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense to me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men. And you notice Jesus didn't respond to his those persecuting and putting him to death in this way. He responded to someone that knew him. They're supposed to understand his purpose. Said, Wait a minute. I'm not here to save my life, to preserve my life. I'm here to live and to die for my Heavenly Father. And he said, so our mandate, if he had denied it, if he saved himself, he would have said, well, I'm going to be like just the majority of people in this world are. I'm going to live to preserve me. Like they say, live, protect numero uno, you know. And so, what's that? I think there's a T-shirt. I think it said, does it say it's all about me or... What's that one? I can't think what it is. Anyway, it's something like that. But that's the way the world thinking, you know. And so himself, he could not save. And you really understand that because he was love, he could not save himself. And that's why God wants us to dwell in him and abide in his love. And you'll be amazed the more you immerse yourself in God and his character, you'll find a lot of these things in earthly realm that you think you cannot do, that you must do, your priorities will change. And you'll find out there's things that you just cannot do. You must do, you know. And when the world's crying out for you to just preserve yourself and save yourself, you realize, no, I cannot. I must live for the Lord Jesus Christ for his name's sake. Last thing in John chapter 12, and these all go hand in hand. Like I said, some of us tonight. But it says to save himself would reject his purpose for being in this world. To save himself would reject his purpose for being in this world. In John chapter 12, notice the beginning of verse 23, where the Word of God says this. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. And if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say, Father? Save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. See, if he saved himself, it would reject it, the whole purpose for him coming into this world. Which he came for the hour of death. He came for the cross. And as we think about taking our cross daily, we need to have the same commitment and compassion and the love that Jesus had, to whereas we cannot save ourselves. You know, we look at the impact of the disciples when they were out serving people and blessing people. That Jesus brought them aside. He said, come, you part and rest a while, because they hadn't even taken time to eat. And we need to find that way to be involved in people and to love people and to be Spirit-led to know how to minister the Scriptures to them. And it says to save himself. And Jesus, that when they were committing, when they were condemning him, they said, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. You know, and what should be our response when the world feels like that we're wasting our life away living for Jesus Christ? Well, I didn't come to save myself. Jesus saved me. So now what I have left in me is a life that Jesus gave me to live. And so I cannot go down. I cannot. You know, I have to say in Nehemiah, I said, we're doing a great work and we cannot come down. And we're continually, you know, because, and this seems like a simple thought, but the more and more this world goes on, when you talk to people throughout the week, you're going to hear so many things that they must do. You're going to hear so many responsibilities that they must take care of. We must be here. We must be there. And even the people that profess to know Christ, so often very little of that must factor has to do with actually ministering out, living out the life that Jesus has. And we're going to miss out when we meet the Lord. If we're not careful, we did all these things. Many people are living their life to try to get their life into a situation to where they can do more for God. And instead of trusting God right now and using their time for Him and letting God establish what their life is supposed to be. That's always encourage young people, when you start slow, don't add a bunch of things to your life. Let God add those things, because if not, you'll be like a lot of older people. You have all these responsibilities, all these things that you have to take care of, and many adult Christians that have not allowed God to establish their priorities really are living in bondage, because they have a heart that really wants to do something. They say, if I do this, I'll lose this. If I do this, I'll lose that. If I do this, I'll lose that. Whereas a young person moves slow and says, you know what? Okay, Lord, what do you want? And God adds this. God, what do you want? Then take this step this way. God, what do you want? Then take this step this way. God, what do you want? Take this step this way. And God will still bless you if you get older and you just trust Him and you have to lose some things. But we see right here in the Scriptures that when you lose, he that loves his life, you lose it anyway. So when you lose it, another passage said you find it. You cannot really go to the cross without losing something. And that's why it's so important to really continually study the life of Christ and look at the life that he lived and look at the way that he ministered and look at the fulfillment that he had by simply doing his Father's will. He wasn't comparing himself to other people. Hey, think about this if you're trying to serve the Lord. Will there ever be anyone in this world that has done more for mankind than Jesus Christ has done? So if you're attempting to be a follower of Jesus Christ, I encourage you right now, don't look at anybody else except but Him. Because if you're trying to live for Him, you'll always find somebody else that you feel like is not committed as you are and not as working as hard as you are. Jesus could have felt that way, but he would have been right. But he still went to the cross. But you and I, it'll cause us to think more of ourselves than we are. Because Luke 17 tells us how we ought to view that. It says that we have done all that we've been commanded. We just say we're unprofitable servants. We've done our duty. So if we've done every single thing that God wants us to do, then our testimony is, I'm just an unprofitable servant doing my duty. You know, it's not that I've done everything that God told me to do, and they didn't, and they didn't, and they didn't, and they didn't. No, I just did my duty. And so that'll help us to really, there again, why? When the focus is on the love of God, then the fruit comes with that, the peace comes. You know what? Because there may be a thought hit you that, you know what, man, I'm doing all this, and so-and-so is not doing this, but the Spirit of God says, well, are you doing what your Savior told you to do? And then if the answer is yes, then the peace comes. And what should happen second, the love should come, because if it is true that somebody else isn't doing all they're supposed to do, then there should be some love that's praying for the Lord. Father, would you help that person? Because they're sure missing out on the joy of just living for you. Thank God that we had a Savior. That though, within His power realm, He could have saved Himself. But in the reality frame of the love that he had, he could not save himself. You know, and think about the things in this life that we have commitments. Say, I'll never do this. I can't do that. I can't do that. May God give us a vision to be like the Lord Jesus Christ that says, you know what? No matter what, Father, I can't do anything except but live for you. And if you really have that honest, sincere mandate before him, the fruits of the Spirit will follow. You have the joy, the love, the meekness, the goodness, the temperance, the faith, and all the things that come with that. Because again, as you look at the life of Jesus, even up to the dying moments of the cross, he knew that nobody took his life from him. Like we mentioned in the resurrection, when Mary's at the tomb and the angel was there, and he said, why weepest thou? And she said, because they. And she said, somebody else was the cause of all this. No. Jesus chose to be there. He chose to die. He chose to be in the grave 3 days. And he chose to come up out of there too. Amen. Nobody took his body. He took his own body out. We're on. Amen. And so when you have that in those moments, and then when you really take on this purpose, and if you've ever really been sold out to God and had those moments, you know that they're the greatest moments you've ever had when it was all about him. And the peace came, and you just, wow, just floods. No matter what happened, whatever difficulties come, whatever problems come, they're just such a resting to know that you're doing what the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to do, because he loves you more than you can love yourself. And you think, wow, I get to love the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest moments of agony in my life is when I walked into a situation and did something, and I thought I could have did more, and God wanted me to do more, and I didn't listen. That's the only regrets I have in this life. When I tell God, I don't. when I do save myself. And unfortunately, there have been many times I've saved myself. I've missed up on my cross on too many times I even care to think about. But thank God, the mercy of God says, take up the cross daily. If you repent, go forth, take up your cross daily, immerse yourself in the life of Christ, and let the Spirit of God do all those things He wants to do in your life. And may God give us that mandate to save Himself. Lord, I'm not going to save myself because this is the hour that I came for. You resurrected me to lose my life to You. Many people lose themselves in different professions, but our Savior said, lose your life to Him, and you can make an eternal difference. Thank God for that opportunity. Father, we thank You for the Word of God tonight. We thank You for the perfect example of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful that You give the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God for us to measure that in the fellowship with You. And I thank You for those old and those few times that I've immersed myself in the joy unspeakable and full of glory that comes to that. And Father, I pray that I would, with the days that I have left, that I have a life that when I stand before You, You'll be pleased with how I lived out what I read about our Savior tonight. Father,